The woman convicted in connection with the disappearance and death of Jennifer Farber Dulos, who was the mother from New Canaan, who had five children, went missing back in May of 2019. Has one more day for a habeas corpus hearing. I'm talking about Michelle Trakonis. Day two of the three-day hearing actually was last Friday. And once again, News 8 investigative reporter Jeff Derderian was inside the courtroom and brings us the latest today. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Melissa.
So first, Jeff, let's go back for a quick second and just talk about the importance of this habeas corpus hearing. Why does this matter?
So what this is just it's not a retrial of what happened and what she got convicted of, which is conspiracy to commit murder. So the facts of the case do not get argued, if you will. This is basically her bringing a challenge forward, saying that, in essence, her former attorney, Andrew Bowman, did not provide effective counsel. That's her argument. So that's what this habeas corpus hearing is. And the reason why it's so significant is that this judge, at the end of 120 days, once we wrap up next Friday, as you said, or this Friday, rather, he could issue a new trial. He could free her. He could, you know, there's a bunch of things he could do. So this is, you know, for Trakonis. And so that's why I think there's been so much focus on, you know, this her legal team trying to show that, look, in their words, not mine, that there was ineffective counsel by Bowman. He should have counseled her more before he allowed her to talk to police. There was some sort of a language barrier, they claim, and she requested a Spanish-speaking officer, didn't get it. So there's a lot in this, right? And so that's why there's just a lot of focus, and I think there's a lot of pressure on her legal team to try and drive the point home to the judge. And by the way, it's a judge, not a jury, that will decide this.
And only because you dipped out for a quick second there, Jeff, I want to just reiterate for people the importance of this is depending on how this hearing goes, the judge will decide essentially if there's enough means to have a brand new trial, right, for Michelle Trakonis?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a big deal.
I mean, he could. It's well within his purview to do that. He could free her pending her appeal. I mean, there are a couple things he could do. So I think, you know, that's why when we come back on Friday, the state will continue their they'll cross-examine this attorney, a hired expert by Team Trakonis, Michael Fitzpatrick. He's been a lawyer for, you know, dozens and dozens of years, and he's basically said last week that, paraphrasing here, that he feels as though that Bowman did not meet the standard of care when it came to advising Trakonis and representing Trakonis. Now, Bowman, got to get this out there, he disagrees with that. He said, look, I did my job. I counseled her, advised her as the best I could based on what I knew. And he said, look, police weren't believing her, okay? Her credibility was in question. And so that's why he initially said, I don't think you should talk. And then he changed his mind after he talked with Richard Colangelo, the former state's attorney, who said, look, we're going to charge her. If we find this body, if we find Jennifer Farber Dulos, we're charging her with accessory to murder. So it's a lot of moving pieces, Melissa. And so, you know, you've got to kind of, you know, read between the lines. The big thing that people are sort of wondering and questioning and whispering in the hallways at the courthouse is, will Trakonis herself take the stand? Which, you know, we don't know yet. I mean, that will be monumental if that happens.
Well, and I am
would agree with that.
Totally, absolutely. If she takes the stand, that is absolutely what we're looking to see happen in the third day, potentially. And again, Jeff Derderian, who's an investigative reporter at News 8, has been in the courtroom the last 2 days. There's one more day of the hearing set for this Friday. You know, Jeff, so I want to just go back for a quick second. Again, Michelle Trakonis, she's in the midst of a 14 and a half year sentence right now after a jury had found her guilty back in March of 2024 of helping at the time her then boyfriend, Fotis Dulos, who, you know, it is believed he is the one who killed his estranged wife and covered it up. But, you know, back to Andrew Bowman, who I know took the stand for a second day. You know, one of the biggest things in this case that had to have been very complicated, and again, I'm no attorney. I can't tell you how it is or isn't complicated, but I would imagine things became so challenging for how he was going to direct his client once Fotis Dulos took his own life. Because now you've got the main suspect out of the picture. And so someone's got to pay the price, essentially. And already Michelle Tracunas was sort of, it was hinted that she might have had some involvement, but there wasn't a lot of focus on her because Fotis Doulos was alive and well. But as soon as he was out of the equation, that made things, I would think, very complicated for Mr. Bowman.
I mean, it made it devastating for Michelle Tracunas, because when Fotis Doulos decided to commit suicide, then her value, right, her stock value, like, plummeted, because he's gone, and so there's nobody really left. And so, you know, you've got other people involved tied to it, but she was sort of the main person, if you will, after him. So, yeah, I mean, the worst thing for her is that, you know, is Doulos killed himself, because at least then I think the argument would have been, you know, Bowman or whoever, right, would have been like, look, you've got Fotis. He's the guy that did it. She didn't do it. That's what the lawyers would be saying. Let her come in and talk about, you know, what Fotis did. He did this. He did that. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
Right. She could have testified against him. She could have gotten even probably, I think, even immunity. That's just it. I mean, that could have potentially happened, but he was out of the equation at that point. So did anything come out of day two that felt significant to you, Jeff, as you were sitting in the courtroom watching this? I know, as mentioned, Andrew Bowman did take the stand again for a second day. Anybody else speak, or anything that you felt was significant came out of day two?
I mean, I think, look, I think the fact that Fitzpatrick, you know, these guys are all lawyers together, right? They all kind of hang in the same circles, and, you know, it's like you and me, right? Like, in other words, it'd be like if I went on the radio and just started, like, saying, yeah, you're ineffective at your job. You're not a good interviewer. You don't sound good on the radio. You don't get your facts right, right? That's, in essence, what Fitzpatrick was saying about Bowman. He said, look, he did not meet the standard of care.
That's
he
rough.
Advised her wrongfully, etc. So, I mean, you don't see that a lot, right? Mm. You know, everybody kind of sticks together, right? Like, so it's human nature. So I think, to me, that was, you know, I mean, he was hired, obviously. I think he's paid $350 an hour. You know, it's by the state, because it's a public defender that Tracunas is using. But, you know, he's sort of a hired hand to come in and say that. But, you know, so to me, that's significant when, you know, when you have another lawyer come in and criticize another lawyer publicly like that. But again, I want to reiterate, okay, Bowman stands by what he did. He said, I changed my mind after they came to me and said she was lying. They felt like her stories weren't adding up. The timeline, when she was in the shower with Fotis, and when, you know, all these little details that people might not remember. But, you know, he said, look, I advised her based on what I thought was the best thing to do at the time. What Colangelo was telling me. And, you know, Colangelo was up there on, you know, this last hearing we had. He didn't really say a lot, you know. I mean, the one significant, you know, soundbite, I think, which stuck out to me really quick was that, you know, he said to Bowman that, look, you know, she can either, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, I'm paraphrasing it, but basically he said, look, she can either get on the bus or she can get run over by the bus, meaning that she can talk, she can cooperate. And that's what a lot of the focus was, because they were urgently trying to find Jennifer's body. And
right.
He said, look, if we find that body, we're charging her. So she can, you know, it's like, get on now, or just, you know, I can't explain, or I can't tell you what will happen in the future. So, but I thought we'd hear more from Colangelo, which we didn't. And I think the Fitzpatrick, you know, testimony is, you know, is significant. And and the judge is really sharp in this case. He's taken, you know, he's following it. And listen, he doesn't need me to tell him. He's doing a good job. He's a judge. But I'm just telling you that he's very, you know, he's allowing certain things to go forward. He's allowing, you know, certain information to come out and not, you know, objecting to certain things. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see, you know, what he rules. Again, 120 days after, up to 120 days. It could be shorter, but 120 days up until, you know, next, when we wrap up this Friday. And then last thing I can let you know quick before we got to go probably is the mother, Tracunas' mother, will be on the stand now this Friday. She's going to testify that because Michelle, according to her, had trouble with the English language, requested this interpreter. Whenever Michelle, like, was in a conversation with somebody, she needed the mom to, like, translate and explain. So, in other words, English isn't her native language, and it created problems when they were interrogating her. Again, Not saying that's true. I'm saying that's what the mother is going to talk about this Friday.
Well, we
so
definitely
end with the mother.
Yeah, we definitely. And it'll be interesting to see if Michelle Tracunas does end up taking the stand. But if her mom is definitely taking the stand, you know, maybe we don't hear from Michelle, especially because I would think that's kind of a not a bad look. But maybe she would do it to prove the point that I really, you know, I struggle or that English is my second language. So, you know, I guess we'll see. Certainly, I know you'll be in the courtroom. My last question for you, though, Jeff, really quick. Is let's say the judge decides, okay, there was enough proof here that Andrew Bowman did not do his job effectively enough and caused, you know, Michelle to be in the situation she's in. So we understand we could see a brand new trial for Michelle Tracunas. What could happen to Andrew Bowman, though? So, like, in this kind of a situation, could he potentially, you know, have his license suspended? Is there any consequence to him, or is it really solely focused on Michelle and what happens next? Like, I don't know if they're countersuing him or anything like that.
I'm not a lawyer either, so let me just say that up front. But my sense would be that it would be more focused on Michelle. I guess civilly they might be able to, you know, go after him. But
well, like he's just coming up as a witness, essentially. Like that's it. He's not this isn't like a, you know, anything really comes of it for him other than you have to take the stand and speak in regards to this specific case, whether or not she needs a new trial. There's nothing other than that, though, that would happen to him.
As far as I know, there's no next step. There's no, like, other shoe to drop. Like,
got it.
You know, he could be sanctioned or something like that. There's nothing that I'm aware of that would say that's the case. He's obviously compelled to testify. He was called to testify. So
well, and it would impact his reputation, obviously. I mean, if you've got a total reversal for what happens to Michelle Tracunas and you're at the center of it, certainly, you know, I can understand that consequence. But I didn't know if there was any kind of countersuing or something going on.
Nothing that I'm aware of that could possibly happen down the road. But again, you can't, you know, they have to wait to get the decision, right? You can't sue somebody for, you know, quote unquote, doing a bad job allegedly until you find out if that's what actually gets ruled upon. So,
true. Yeah.
But yeah, I think the big thing is, and I'll be texting with you on Friday. I think the big thing is does Michelle take the stand? But remember, if she takes the stand, everything's sort of, there's no privilege here, right? There's no attorney client privilege. Like it's kind of, you kind of waive all of that. So it's a dangerous slope, you know what I mean? She's got to explain the ride. She's got to explain the Tacoma, the mm-hmm. pickup truck. So, and dropping off the garbage bags in Hartford and the 10 stops or the 30 stops, whatever it was. So I think all of that has to be weighed. So my sense would be, I could be wrong. Well, you know, Eric's probably recording this, I'm sure, but I don't think she takes the stand.
I don't think she does either, only because, again, that's just an educated guess. I feel the same way, Jeff. And the only reason I would say that is because if the mom already plans to talk about the language barrier being one of the biggest things, it's like a disconnect if she then gets on the stand, other than to kind of double down and be like, yep, I really don't understand English that well. I don't know your questions. I feel like you are taking a risk that may not be necessary, but I guess we'll see. Well, you'll see. Right. You'll be in the courtroom. So,
and definitely text me. And not only that risk, really quick before we got to go, that, you know, you can't, like, this isn't pick and choose, right? This isn't, like, multiple choice. Well, I'll talk about this.
Right.
I'll talk about that.
Exactly.
No. You go up there, we're talking about everything.
Right, whatever is connected to this case,
right.
Yeah.
There's no, like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to talk about that. No, it doesn't work like that.
Well,
I mean, it doesn't work like that at all.
Don't worry. We don't do bets on this show, but between you and me, Jeff, let's see if we're right on Friday. And certainly I appreciate any text messages while this is going on. I so appreciate you. Jeff Dedarian, investigative reporter with News 8 and a dear friend of mine. Thank you so much for what you do and giving us the latest on this.
Okay. See you guys. Bye. Thank
you. Sounds good. That's Jeff Dedarian again here on WICC. Again, the third day of this 3-day hearing is set to happen this Friday. So we'll keep you posted on that.